Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question, why song? Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of All Things Working Together for Good. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So this 28th verse of Romans chapter 8 is one of the most encouraging statements in the Bible. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. The first thing I want you to notice is that this is not a universal promise. It's not true for everyone. It is a promise specifically for those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. In other words, this is a promise to the child of God. Now, it's always important to consider the context of any statement that we have in Scripture, and especially here, because this is a passage that is oftentimes quoted alone, without its context. Many people learn this verse as one of the maybe even first, or you know, right up there with some of the first few verses that they learn as Christians. But oftentimes we don't see it in its context. So, of course, we're studying through the epistle to the Romans. We're here in the 8th chapter, so we obviously want to look at the context of the statement. Now, remember that back earlier in the chapter, in the 18th verse, or even before that, Paul is talking about the fact that we are the children of God. And as children, we are the heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. And then he said this, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also might be glorified together. So the context of this statement is suffering. Paul goes on there and he talks about the fact that there's help for us during the suffering through the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit. He talks about the fact that we are being prayed for by the Lord Himself. And then, having said that the Spirit is making intercession for us according to the will of God, then he says, and we know, or and for this reason, because of these things, we know this. We know all things are working together for the good to those who love God. Now, notice Paul is assuming that his readers know this. Or if they don't know it, this is something that he wants them to know. They need to know. This is something that we as Christians, as followers of Christ, this is something that we need to know. We need to know that all things are working together for good to those who love God. Why? Because there will be things in life that seem to contradict this truth. And let's be honest, if you've been around for a while, if you've lived life, if you've walked with the Lord, you know by experience that there are times when things are so perplexing, and you look at this verse and you're just thinking, Lord, wait, how is that true in light of what I'm going through? And, you know, sometimes we can be insensitive and somebody's going through a hard time or something, maybe even tragic. And because we haven't really lived life in any real significant way, perhaps, or we haven't, you know, walked with the Lord long enough where we can be kind of glib and kind of trite. And, you know, we see somebody going through some affliction or suffering or something, we say, hey, brother, man, don't worry about it. You know, all things work together for good. And, you know, the person that's going through that is saying, well, yeah, you know, I know that's true. And I know the Bible says it, but I'm having a hard time getting a grip on it right now. And that's the reality. If you've been around long enough, like I said, if you've walked with the Lord long enough, you know, there are things that you just look at it and you say, okay, Lord, I don't get this. I don't get how this fits into Romans 8:28. And there are times we can understand that some things work together for good. We might even be willing to agree that most things work together for good. But at times we can be really tested as to whether all things work together for good. So again, how do we know that all things work together for good? How can we know this? And the answer is, we know it primarily by faith. We know it by faith. Because a lot of times, we're not going to see it for a while. In some cases, we're not going to see it in this lifetime. There will be things that some of us will be perplexed about our entire lives. We'll never be able to figure it out. We'll never be able to look at it and go, oh yes, I see now this happened here and that happened there and this all came together and yes, I can see clearly all things work together for good. There are times when that will happen, when we do get to see it, but there's also going to be times when we don't. So how do we know it's true? This is where faith comes in. By faith, I have to lay hold of this as true, even though nothing I see supports what I believe. I can't see any change in the circumstances. I can't even imagine in any way how this thing, this tragedy, this crisis, whatever it might be, this form of suffering, I just can't see for the life of me how this could work together for good. I mean, how could losing my job that I've been at for 30 years, how could that work together for good? Or how could it be that our home was destroyed in some catastrophic thing and the insurance company doesn't want to pay for it? And you know, and now here we are, we're left without a home. How could that work together for good? Or how could this crisis in my health, how could this diagnosis, how could this affliction work together for good? Or how could the loss of that loved one? God, I don't understand that. And you see, there are those times and those situations where we look at it and we just say, you know, Lord, I can't see it. I don't get it. I've had times like that in my life where I have just said to the Lord, you know, I just can't see how this could work together for good. The only way that we can lay hold of this and embrace it and be strengthened and comforted through it is if we're going to take hold of it by faith. In other words, we have to just simply believe that it's true because God said it's true. But let's think about the God who said it's true. And that helps. If we know God, if we know who He is, if we know what He's done, if we know His character, if we know His heart, then putting faith in this word is going to be a lot easier than if we don't. You see, if I know that somebody is faithful, if I know somebody is true, if I know somebody has the ability, I know ultimately they're going to come through and they come along and say, hey, don't worry about that situation. It's going to be taken care of. I can rest. I can say, okay, because I know that person. I have confidence in them. But if I'm in the midst of some crisis or some tragedy and some stranger walks by and says, hey, man, don't worry about it. It's all going to work out. You know, who are you? Why should I believe you? How do you know? Or why should I trust that you know? So you see, this is really the issue. We have got to know our God. We've got to have faith in the Word of God, but we've got to have faith in the God who spoke the Word. So who is this God? Well, remember, first of all, He is the God who created the universe. He's the God who created everything. And anybody today, this is a side note, but I'm going to say it. You know, anybody today who, you know, embraces like evolutionary ideas or, you know, that God didn't create the universe, you know, I just feel sorry for those people. Because they're hoping in something that is, it's just irrational. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. And, of course, in the end, it would leave you without any hope whatsoever. If we're just here as a cosmic accident and everything is random and it's all due to natural processes, then you know what? Whatever you go through in life, it doesn't even matter. Too bad. It's just the way it is. There's no comfort. There's no consolation. There's no hope. It's just the cold, hard reality that we live in a purely material universe. But I don't believe that for a minute. And I think anybody who's thinking clearly and looking at the creation itself, I don't know how anybody could think that. The creation is so majestic. It's so glorious. And God himself, in the prophecies of Isaiah, I've just been reading through the, you know, chapter 40. And all the way through those chapters, God is speaking to Israel, and they are in a position, really, of doubting God's love, God's power, God's mercy, God's ability to fulfill his promises. That's what is happening there. And the Lord is speaking to him over and over again. You know, from Isaiah 40 to Isaiah 49, in that stretch of scripture, God refers to himself as the creator more than at any other place in the Bible. Over and over again, he says, I stretched out the heavens alone. I spread abroad the earth by myself. I did all of this. And he keeps reminding the people that he's the creator, that they can trust him. You know, the other day I was reading, it must have been in Isaiah, and I can't remember exactly where, but I've been in there for a while. But it was a verse that just said this. I've read this verse lots of times. I've thought this lots of times. But you know how things will like hit you all of a sudden. I read, the Lord's ways are unsearchable. And it just struck me. It's like, it's so true. Looking at the creation itself, looking at the heavens, looking at the earth, looking through the telescope, looking into the microscope. It's like, you know, there are so many things that the brightest minds in all of history, they can't figure it out. They don't have really a clue. They can see things, but they don't know why they see what they see. They don't know what it means. And it just struck me, well, of course, his ways are unsearchable. Men will never figure it out. It's impossible. But this is our God. He's the one who created the universe. And so we're called to put faith in the word of the one who created everything. But secondly, he is the God who showed not just that he is all-powerful, but he's the God who showed us that he loves us. And how did he show us that? Well, the supreme manifestation of God's love for us, of course, was in the cross of Jesus Christ. And Paul's going to get to that as we go further into this chapter. He's going to say, God is for us. And since God is for us, who can be against us? And then he says, if God did not spare his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us everything with him? So we've got this as well. We've got this evidence, this proof of God's love. Jesus comes and he takes our place in death. He takes the penalty of our sin upon himself. And there we were on death row, headed for the gallows, and Jesus Christ comes and says, "You're free to go. I'm taking your place. Greater love has no man than this, than one would lay down his life for his friends." Jesus said, "That's what I'm doing for you." And that's what he did. So we are called to put our faith in God's word, but he is the God who is the creator. He is the God who loves us and demonstrated. He's also the God who has shown his faithfulness throughout history. So you see, these are the things that we have. We have the world we live in, the planet we stand on, the sky above us, the universe out beyond our galaxy. We have all of that. We have the Son of God coming into the world, taking upon himself the form of a man and dying in our place. But then we have history. And we have examples all through history of this truth being worked out in people's lives. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. How do we know that? Because God is all powerful, because God loves us, and because God has shown us examples in history of how this truth has been fulfilled. Probably one of the greatest illustrations of this is Joseph. The story of Joseph, that wonderful story of Joseph there in the latter portion of Genesis. And you probably remember the story. Here's this young man. He's the apple of his father's eye. He's envied by his brothers. And because they envy him, they determine to harm him in some way. And so they take him and they cast him into a pit. And they want to kill him, but instead of killing him, they decide, no, we'll just sell him. So they sell him to the Ishmaelites that are passing by. And here he is at 17 years old. He's basically sold by his own brothers. He's betrayed. He's sold as a slave. And the Ishmaelites, they take him to Egypt, and they sell him to a man named Potiphar. And so he ends up in the house of this man, Potiphar. He's there for a season. We don't know how long. Things go wrong there, although he's blessed and Potiphar has entrusted everything to him. You remember in the story, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, and this all results in Joseph being cast into prison. And there he is in prison. And the whole ordeal lasts for 13 years. 13 years. Think back in your mind right now. Try to think back 13 years ago. Could you imagine the past 13 years being in slavery? Well, that's where Joseph was. He was a believer in God. He was somebody who trusted God. But this is where he was for 13 years. And Joseph did not have Romans 8:28. He didn't have that assurance that all things are working together for good to those who love God. But he was trusting the Lord. Now, I'm absolutely certain, because Joseph was thoroughly human, there were times when he was just saying, "Okay, God, I do not get this. I cannot figure this out. Lord, I can't see any way that this is helpful, that this is beneficial for me, for anybody else involved. I can't see how this is furthering your plan, your purpose." You can be sure that there were times of deep, deep darkness and depression for Joseph. But he lives through this ordeal. And then you remember the story, how Pharaoh has a dream, and he tells his dream to the people around him, and one of his servants says, "Oh, I can't believe it." Pharaoh's looking for somebody to interpret the dream. There's nobody there that can do it. But the butler said, "Oh, you know, I can't believe I did this. There was a Hebrew when I was in prison. It says to Pharaoh, you put me there, remember? I was there. And I had a dream. And this young Hebrew, he told me the meaning of the dream, and it happened exactly as he said. And I forgot. I wanted to speak to you about him. But anyway, he can help you, Pharaoh. He can interpret your dream. And so that day, Joseph was called out of prison. And he was, by the end of the day, he started the morning in prison. By the end of the day, he was the prime minister of Egypt. Amazing story. I wonder what he felt like when he woke up that morning, if he thought, had any premonition whatsoever that things are going to change wonderfully for him that day. Probably not. Probably just thought it's another day in prison. Here I am. But that's not the end of the story. God raises Joseph up to be the prime minister, but he raises him up not just to bless him and bring him out of the affliction that he was in, but he puts him in the position so he would ultimately become the savior of his own family who would have perished during the famine that came. And so Joseph himself would say later to his brothers, after everything's been exposed and they've been, you know, seen for their dastardly deed there, and Jacob has, you know, found out about it and all of that. And then Jacob passes away, and the brothers are fearful. They think, okay, now that our dad has died, Joseph is going to take vengeance on us. And they come to him, and they're fearful. And Joseph says, no, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many lives just as it has happened. And that's the thing. There are things in life that are meant for evil. Satan has evil designs to destroy us, to destroy our faith, and he comes against us. The circumstances of life, sometimes people have evil intentions and plans and plots and schemes, and they're going to overthrow us. They're going to bring us down. And yet, it seems like God isn't doing anything. He's not intervening. He's not helping. And it seems like you're going to go under. But then something happens. And you find that just as God did with Joseph, he comes through. Now, with Joseph, the thing is, of course, Joseph was able to see in his own lifetime, in his own experience, how these things actually turned out for the good. And there will be many times that's the case with us as well. But as I said earlier, there might be a few things that we will never really figure out. And those are the things that we have to just simply put back in the Lord's hands. We have to just simply say, well, you know, that's one that'll just have to wait. I think that's especially true when you lose a loved one, especially somebody that was young. Maybe your parents died young, or maybe you had a child that passed in their youth, obviously. And, you know, those are the things that, how do you figure that stuff out? You probably never will. I was talking to Greg Laurie a while back about his son, Christopher. And, you know, it's one of those things. He'll never figure that out. He'll never be able to understand it. He's never going to look and go, oh, yeah, I see it all now. Oh, yes, all things work together for good. That's never going to happen this side of heaven. That's just the reality of it. But there are things that we do get to see this side of heaven. We do get to see God work things out. And again, history shows us that in the lives of God's people, Joseph just being one example. We could look to others. We could talk about David. We could talk about Daniel. We could talk about various people in the scripture where those kinds of things, you know, seemingly wrong things for God's people. Wait a second. How could this happen to one of God's people? But yet, those things were allowed. But we see through the stories how God works them out. Moses is another, of course, a great example. All things work together for the good to those who love God.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of All Things Working Together for Good. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled All Things Working Together for Good. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0143. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.